It's a night of miracles here on Coast to Coast AM, and we invite you to call and be a part of the show with us. Have you ever had an encounter of your own, strange or miraculous? Our guest for this evening and wrapping up the last hour is Daniel Fazina. He's written the book Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. Daniel, this is a question that I get asked a lot from people. Is it all right to ask for miracles?
Oh, absolutely. I would say that if you want it, you should ask for it. There's no harm in that. And God wants us to talk to him. He wants us to ask for what we want and what we need. And it's just, you know, he wants a relationship with us. And it's like if you have children, you know, you want to give them good things, and you also want them to talk to you and ask for a miraculous or, you know, ask for something good. And he loves us, and he wants to give us good things, you know. And I firmly believe that. You know, there's a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't question God, and, you know, he's too busy to answer your prayers. He's got, you know, bigger things to worry about. Why should he intervene in your life? Who are you? You know what? And, you know, that's an interesting argument I've heard. But the fact is that he is alive, and he's personal. He wants a personal relationship with us. He, you know, I've asked him for very silly things when I was very young in my faith, and even now, like, for example, I would lose something in my bedroom, and I would tear the room apart for like a half an hour looking for it, and finally I would just give up in frustration and pray and ask God to help me, and I would find what I was looking for, you know, less than a minute later. Things like that. It's like, yes, it's mind-blowing, because the God of the universe, who created everything, the stars, the heavens, the moon, he still intervenes, and he cares about us, our little desires, our needs. He's that intimate, and he wants to be, you know, have that kind of relationship with us. So, yeah, it's definitely okay. Ask. He's not afraid of your questions.
I'm not afraid of the questions either. Let's ask the audience to call in with questions of their own stories. And I also am curious for the listeners. Are there listeners that don't believe in miracles, that don't believe things happen like this, that it is nothing more than circumstance? And if so, when you see and hear these stories of remarkable recoveries and healings, I'm curious from the audience members that don't buy into religion and don't buy into miracles, what is their take on what actually occurs? Let's take the calls. We'll discuss more right here on Coast to Coast AM. Phone lines are filling up nicely here on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest, Daniel Fazina. Daniel, are you ready to start taking some calls?
Absolutely, Dave. I am psyched and pumped. I love talking about miracles. I could do it all night.
Great. Let's go east of the Rockies. David in St. Louis, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. What part of St. Louis is that?
yeah, right. I'm down by Anheuser-Busch, actually.
Okay.
I want to talk about a miracle that occurred when I was 18 years old. I used to work in a toy factory, and I did these, I was the packer at the end of the toy line, and I had to make these master boxes, and I would do like 45, 50 of them. I had to mark them with the date, and I had to do them one at a time. While I was doing that, they had a supply come in, and so they had stacked these boxes up 25 feet high, 144 in each bundle. And while I'm marking these boxes, I was told somehow from an angel or from God to move, and I didn't. I was doing some more boxes. I got like, Mom, I'll be here for another half minute. I'll move then. Then I got another call to move. And I moved, and I was 1 foot away when a stack of these boxes came crashing down from 25 feet down, and they landed where I would have been at. I would not have had no room for my feet, no room for my back. I could have been crushed, killed, or paraplegic. I thank God for that. That was a miracle.
All right, David, thank you very much. I'm glad you're still with us. And boy, yeah, that makes you definitely rethink your luck system, right? When you have that kind of situation, you're hearing a voice. You're hearing or feeling something pulling at you outside of your own consciousness. that's when we look at it as a real miracle, not just our own maybe intuition or sense of situation and realizing, yeah, that looks like a poorly stacked set of boxes. I might want to be careful around that. You're actually, mm-hmm. It's like something's waking you up.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love when God does that. My mother had a similar experience where she was, and this is one of the stories I detail in Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, but back in the 70s, she was finishing up dinner. This was a couple years before I was born, but and as she was doing that, she had this voice go through her head, say, go and check Grandma's house. Now, at the time, there was a massive rainstorm out. It was pouring. My grandmother's house was about 20 minutes away without traffic. And she just was like, she ignored it at first. She continued with the dishes, and then she heard the voice again. Go and check Grandma's house. It wasn't like, get over there right away, but it was a calm voice, you know. But it went through her head, and she was like, I need to go. You know, she told my father and my brothers and sisters, hey, you want to take a ride over to Grandma's house? And they're all like, are you kidding me? Look at the storm out there. It's raining cats and dogs. The wind is swirling. There's tree branches down everywhere. And she's like, no, I really need to go over there. So finally, my oldest sister said, I'll go with you, Mom. So they piled in the car and they drive over there through the, you know, the wind and the rain. And it was absolutely horrible. She said, not fit for man nor beast. So they get over to my grandmother's block. And this was a summer home. My grandmother was in the city. So the house was empty. And it was a bungalow in Mastic Beach, New York, you know, lots of summer homes. But so she's driving down the block and she looks very, you know, slowly. She's driving. She looks. She doesn't see anything. She goes down to the end of the block, turns around. Drives back, looks very slowly, doesn't see anything. And my sister's like, okay, you know, we checked it out. Can we go home now? She's like, no, something's telling me. I have to go back and look. She went back a third time, didn't see anything. They finally turn around. They're going to go home. And as they're driving, they look over at my grandmother's house, and they see this big flash of light. And at that moment, lightning had struck the next-door neighbor's house, and the thing went on fire. They had to go and find a home with a phone because there were bungalows. Not all of them had it, but they found someone with a phone. They called the ambulance or the fire trucks, and they came and put the fire out, but they were the only ones around. No, you know, they just happened to be there exactly when the house went on fire. And because of that, they saved the neighbor's house. And she firmly believed that it was God or an angel just telling her, hey, get over there and check this out. And there's no way you can explain that other than divine intervention. I mean, how else could it be?
Wild card line two, Sherry from Green Bay. Welcome to the show. What's your story for us?
In the 70s, my ex-husband's youngest brother, he was 19, wanted to buy a snowmobile, and he wanted us to co-sign for it. And I had a real bad feeling about it, and I didn't want to do it, but I eventually did. And that night, he took his Numa machine, and he went out on a trail ride. He was with a friend who was ahead of him, and the friend got so far, and he looked back, he didn't see him, so he went back to find him, and he was laying on the ground, and they couldn't get his machine started. He picked him up and put him on the, you know, said, get on the back of my machine. He took him up a ways to the only place that was open was a local tavern. Took him into the tavern and kind of propped him up against the pool table, took his helmet off, and the guy said that he thought that his head was going to come off in the helmet. Guide wire across the trail had cut through his throat. They called the ambulance, took him to the hospital. He died four times on the way. He was in the hospital for 4.5 months. He had a trach. They didn't think he'd ever be able to speak again. When he got out of the hospital, after about 6 months, he went back. And in the meantime, they'd taken the trach out. And he was sitting on the examining table, and his doctor walked in. And the doctor said, hey, how are you doing? Not expecting him to say anything. And he said, I'm doing fine, Doc. And the doctor almost fainted. His vocal cords had been completely cut in two. They had grown back together. The doctor said, no way, no how. He said, I saw those vocal cords. He said they were cut completely in two. And he wanted to go back in and take a look and see, you know, what had happened. And my young brother-in-law wouldn't let him. But that was pretty much a miracle right there.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like one. Thank you for calling in, Sherry.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that very cool. I mean, to hear these kind of stories, we've done on our show Darkness Radio. We're a paranormal-themed radio show Monday through Friday. And people can tune in to the show at our live stream at darknessradio.com. And then Coast to Coast AM takes over right after our show. But we've used our format for years to do prayer and healing requests for listeners. And one that really, two that were pretty impressive, but one that really touched me, a friend of ours, Dana, her daughter was pregnant. And at one point they were doing a scope, I guess, of the baby, and they found a mass inside the baby's head. And they were debating whether it would be better to just terminate the baby's life because they thought this brain tumor and this was going to be inoperable and most likely take the life of the baby anyway. And it was devastating news to our friend and her family. And she reached out and just said, Dave, I don't know how this works. I don't know what to do, but can you please put out a prayer and healing request? And we posted it on our social media sites at Facebook and, yes, even at MySpace when that was still relevant. And the response that we got was unbelievable. Within a week, when they went back in to do the final test, there wasn't a trace, not a trace of this mass any longer in the baby. And they had tracked it a few times, but when they were about to do that, there was absolutely no proof that it existed or had ever been there. That blew the medical community away. But this child, I'm lucky enough to see once a year when we go visit them in Gettysburg for large conventions, and a beautiful little child. Another friend of ours fell ill to a massive asthma attack about 8 years ago, shortly after Christmas, and I think right before New Year's, suffered a massive asthma attack that put her into a coma and put her into the hospital. We had one of her teammates reach out to us and say, you know, I don't know that I buy into this whole thing with prayer and healing, but we don't know what to do. They're calling the priest in for last rites. Mm-hmm. And is there anything that can be done? And again, we threw out the prayer and healing request, and within 2 days, she was out of the hospital and, as a lifelong asthmatic, has never once used her inhaler again.
Wow.
In 8 years. So it's, yeah, these are the moments that when it does, you know, I understand questioning. And that, you know, I think that's part of our journey is to question religion, sure, question God, question these things, because I don't even believe God wants us to follow blindly. He wants us to feel that we're secure in our belief system, whatever it may be. So, sure, you know, I those are the moments that to me stand out so beautifully. Let's go to first time caller line, Angelina, Long Beach, California. I just came back from there. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling in this evening.
Oh, God, you guys are so great. I've been listening, and I can never get through. This is the first time. I'm so happy to get through.
It's a miracle. Wait a minute.
Good to talk
all right
with you.
What's your story for us, Angelina?
Our son was hit-and-run driver. Came down on his head really bad, and they told us that he wasn't going to survive the night. They didn't know what to do with him. They didn't know whether to operate or not, because his brain was swelling at such a rapid pace that they just wanted to open up his head, to give it room.
Right.
And, but something just kept, you know, staying the hand of the doctor. And he said, just let it go, let it go. And but they told us to make arrangements for him. He wasn't going to make it. Well, he was in a coma for only 12 and a half days. Mm. And I believe in the power of prayer, because I have people there that didn't even believe in God. We're calling televangelists and calling priests and calling everybody they could call to say a prayer for Joey. And I went in one day in the hospital, and I found his bed surrounded by the nuns over from the church, Carmelite nuns. I mean, scared the heck out of me. And they were all praying for him. And my friend was a nurse, registered nurse. She said, talk to him. He can hear you. She said, no matter what, if his hearing is okay, the last thing to go is the hearing. And he will hear you. He'll have his sleep time, and he'll be awake. And while, you know, you will know when he's awake, because there's movement. I'll show you by his eyes. And she did. And my husband would keep holding his hand. Well, after 12 days, my husband was holding his hand, and Joey was playing with his fingernail. And he says, "Oh, my God, I think he's waking up." And he was waking up at such a rapid pace that he kept saying, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." And I said, "Oh, my God, honey, what's going on?" He says, "I was in the water. I was swimming, and there was a man in a boat, and it was an old man in a boat, and I was trying to get help from him, and he had his arms stretched out, but then all of a sudden he pushed me back into the water and told me that you have to go back, you have to go back." And I don't know, it was a wonderful thing, just a wonderful thing. The doctor said that he may never, ever be the same. He may never walk again because he was all paralyzed on his left side. And after he spoke, coming out of the coma, he didn't speak again. He had lost his speech. It was really weird. And so we just took care of him in the hospital. And the neurologists that were taking care of him said, "This kid is really weird." He said, I don't know what to make of it, because you go in there one day and he's not able to go to the bathroom, you know, on the toilet. And but then the next day he is. Then you go in there one day and he's able to hold a fork and feed himself. And you go in the next day and he's able to talk. And then you go in the next. Every day held something, a cure for him. He was in there and he was perfectly cured in 1 month's time. He went back to school like nothing happened. And I'm telling you, you know, everybody, you believe what you want to believe, but I believe in God. And the power of prayer is it's so strong, you have no idea.
Sure.
And
thank you, Angelina. We appreciate the call and sharing that story. It is interesting, right? When, you know, I asked earlier, can we ask for a miracle and in intervention? Do you believe that it's more powerful when people do it in our name, either in, you know, just setting an intention, sending good thoughts, or sending forth prayer? Do you feel that it might be more powerful that way?
More powerful in what way?
Than just asking for yourself.
Oh, well, you know what? It's interesting, because when I was going through cancer, you know, people ask me, "Do you have the faith to be healed?" And I really was struggling with that. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I had a tremendous community around me that were praying and interceding on my behalf. And it reminds me of the story in the Gospel of Mark in the Bible, where there's, you know, Jesus is teaching and he's in this house, and these four friends bring their paralytic friend on a mat, and they can't get near Jesus because of the crowd. And it says that they went up on the roof of the house and they made a hole in the roof and they lowered him down into the presence of Jesus. They were that desperate. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, he healed the paralytic. And I look at that story and I think, you know what? I don't know whether the paralytic had faith, but I know his friends did, because they demonstrated it with their actions. And so that's kind of like, you know, when Angelina was sharing the story about how she had people who weren't even believers, you know, calling up evangelists and calling up priests to pray, they don't even, the victim or the person who needs a prayer doesn't even need to have faith, but God does respond to faith. So if you have people around you that have faith and that can lift you up and just kind of gird you up and strengthen your faith, that is awesome and it's powerful. The power of prayer, like Angelina said, it's so strong we have no idea, but it's one of the greatest gifts that God gives us, and he responds to that. He responds to the faith of his people.
Daniel Fazina, our guest, will continue taking your calls. Your real-life miracles continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for hanging in with me. If you're just getting up and tuning in, tonight we've been talking about miracles for the last 2 hours with our guest, Daniel Fazina. We're taking your phone calls now, people sharing their own encounters or questions for our guest. Let's go to Wildcard Line 3, Kathy in Janesville, Wisconsin. Welcome back to the show, and what's your question?
Well, I've had a few miracles myself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was on the national screening force for the TSA, and I happened to be in Idaho, and all of a sudden I started having a pain in my lower left side, you know, And of course I went in to the doctor and they said, you pulled the muscle and stuff like that. Well, then I went on to New York, and the whole time I was in New York, I went to a doctor and he tried telling me that at that time, then the pain had even moved up into my ribs. And he said it was because of the type of bra I wore that I didn't even own, which was an underwire one. Well, then I requested to go home. So I went back to Spokane at that time, and I went to a doctor, and he says it's shingles underneath your skin. And I thought, well, I guess I can believe that. So then I was shipped. I went on up to Alaska. And while I was working in Alaska and I lifted the passenger's bag up to put on the belt, something snapped. And anyway, I couldn't lay down. I couldn't nothing. I was in excruciating pain. The next morning, my husband was up there with me, and he took me into the Anchorage Hospital. And he said he sees absolutely nothing wrong, but because of the length of time I've had this pain, they'll do an MRI. Well, they took me in, did an MRI, and found out I had bone cancer. Hmm. Well, then they sent me back to Spokane, and in Spokane, the medical field is doing nothing for me. So I have a sister. I was originally born and raised in Wisconsin. She says, we got to get out of Dodge. We got to go home. So she got me back to Madison, Wisconsin, and I went in and saw a doctor. And in Anchorage, they told me I had 3 months to live. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm only 48 years old. I got 3 months to live. Anyway, I went into the doctors there and found out I actually had multiple myeloma, which is cancer of the plasma cells of the blood. And usually you're in your 60s and 70s before you get this type of cancer. And my best option was a bone marrow transplant. Well, by some miracle, my brother was an identical match to me. Hmm. And that's really a miracle, because you get three things from your mom, three things from your dad, and you just throw them in a jar and pull them out. And to get the exact same six between him and I was a miracle alone. Well, he gave me the bone marrow. I had the bone marrow transplant. I was supposed to extend my life 5 years. It's been 10 years. Since I had that bone marrow transplant, and that cancer, they can't find it. It's gone. It's in remission.
Awesome.
And then another time through this, 2 years ago, I all of a sudden had a real hard pain in my back. I called my husband and asked him if he could come home, and he came home and he got me, excuse me, he drove me 80 miles an hour up to Madison. Got me in there, and if he would have got me there 2 hours later, I would have been dead, because I had pneumonia, which is, and I had a pocket of MRSA in there, and it had exploded, and I was shut. My whole system was shutting down. Well, we're both times with this, and the doctor told him, I'm not guaranteeing nothing, and we're going hour by hour, minute by minute here, you know, and, it was like 3 days before he said he was even a little optimistic with me. But everybody all over the United States, because all the friends that I had from the screening force and everything else, both times, all of them got together and prayed. I even had one guy in California send a prayer request for me to a Catholic church in New York. And anyway, they don't know how, but I'm alive, and I know how. It's God. God has moved through me. I have felt it. Anybody that doubts it, don't, because there is. And I didn't see no light or none of that stuff, and I think things like this happen to test your faith. Hmm. And I have complete faith in God, and it's such a wonderful feeling when he moves through you and you feel it. You can't even really describe it because it's so peaceful.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate that call. We have one more break to take care of. We'll be back. We've got more calls coming your way right here on Coast to Coast AM. Daniel Fazina is the host of the radio program Divine Intervention, on which he interviews intriguing people who have had experiences with divinity in amazing ways. Daniel's own personal testimony of miraculous healings led him to start Divine Intervention, which can be heard on its flagship station, WLIX in New York, and on stations across America. And you can also check it out on the internet at divineinterventionradio.com. Wildcardlive.com. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line for Bob, Camarillo, California. Thank you for your patience and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. And good evening, Daniel. I just try to give you a condensed version of what I experienced a number of years ago. But basically, I had a successful auto repair shop and had the house, the cars, pretty much the, what they call a proverbial living the dream. Mm-hmm. But alcoholism, unfortunately, got me into a pretty bad spiral where I ended up losing my business and my house and almost everything. And I found myself on the street and bouncing from shelter to shelter. And anyway, well, one night I guess I reached my lowest point that I was willing to accept. And I finally just had a talk with God and told him, look, okay, I get it. I need help. I can't do this by myself. You know, I was about as low as you could get, and said definitely alcoholic. Anyway, the next morning, I just had this unbelievable euphoria about me that I couldn't explain, where, you know, I just had this great feeling, energy, everything. I mean, absolutely everything, littlest things that could have gone my way the next day did, and it, you know, and it just is an incredible day. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but, and I had read, you know, some of the Bible while I had this time, and, you know, it talks about the devil doesn't want to let go of you. And so I, you know, I kept that in mind, too. And I was walking back to this mission I was staying at, and this beautiful woman comes out of this bar door right in front of me and all scantily clad. She's like, hey, come on inside, have a drink. And I'm thinking, like, God, is that the best you got? And it gets better, though, because about a block before I got back to this shelter, I get a phone call on my cell phone, and it's from an old customer of mine who wanted me to do a whole bunch of work on his car. And I recognize his voice, and I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but what was your name again, sir? And take a wild guess what his name was.
Jesus.
Exactly.
No.
Just in case I didn't get what was going on, it was a not-so-subtle hint that, yeah, I got your back. You
That's
know.
Awesome. See, those little signs like that, you know, God leaves them for us.
Yeah.
He wants us to know it's him, but, you know, but again, he's not going to, like, use a megaphone, but he's gonna reach us in personal ways, and he's going to show us those signs.
The best part is I haven't had a drink since. So, you know, it's been about 2.5 years, so.
Well, congratulations, Bob. Stay strong on that. Thank you for calling in and being a part of the show. Wildcard Line 5, Mary in Wickliss, Ohio. You're next on Coast to Coast AM.
Hello there, Dave and Dan. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great and getting better. Yeah, what's up?
All right, great. I have a really good story, and then I have a question afterwards, if you guys don't mind. My really great story isn't as exuberant or, you know, miraculous as everybody else's, but it was gave me goosebumps and it gave my family goosebumps. Many years ago, my son, my older son was playing his first football game, and my middle son had undescended testicles and was going to have surgery. And it was a Saturday night, and my aunt was visiting from out of town, and we stayed up on my patio all night long, and we're drinking and gabbing all night long. And she was in the convent to be a nun, and then she backed out at the last minute. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, she says, what mass are you going to tomorrow? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I planned on missing, but I, of course, can't miss when Aunt Pat is in town. So... Yes, of course. So I get up and we go to 11:30 mass. Meanwhile, I have to have my son in his uniform, football uniform, at the field at 12:30. And so we go to mass, and it was the anniversary of our parish, which I didn't realize. And the Knights of Columbus was there, the bishop was there, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get out of here on time to get my son to the field. But the whole time, I'm praying desperately for my son for his first football game, midget football, not, you know, anything big. And then more importantly, my other son, who was going to have surgery the next day and go under the anesthesia and everything. And I was praying my heart out the whole time during Mass, and I'm a good Catholic. I have 12 years Catholic school, and I'm praying my heart out for my kids. And the end of the Mass, you know, I should have let 5% of the church leaves after communion, and I'm not one of them. I stayed to the end. And so I'm at the end of Mass, excuse me, the bishop is coming down the aisle, and I'm staring at him the whole time. I'm like, come on, bishop, walk a little faster. Come on, I'm in a hurry. And I had my eyes on him the whole time. And, you know, when you go to church, everybody puts their kids on the aisle. And I had my eyes on him the whole time. He did not do or touch anybody. And I'm like 5-6 rows from the end, and my kids are on the aisle. And the bishop gets to us, he stopped, and he reached out, and he blessed both of my kids' foreheads. Mm. And then he kept on walking. I was, oh, my God. I walked out of church. I was in goosebumps. I was near tears. I said, oh, my God, the bishop just blessed my kids. And I was praying my heart out. And to me, it was the hand of God reaching out and touching my kids. And it was just the most amazing moment. And I'm a firm believer, and I believe that was God touching my kids. But then again, I have a question now. That's a beautiful story, and I have faith, and I know what that was. And then all these years later, my older sister was 43 years old, and she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And I was her biggest cheerleader. I'm like, I believe in God. God is my friend, and God is going to cure her. And I just jumped through hoops, and I went to our 24-hour chapel. I'd go in there, you know, lit up after bowling, and I'd sit there, and I'd pray my heart out for my sister. And then it didn't work. It didn't work because, my sister had what George Norrie's sister had, the GBM, the worst brain cancer you could get. And I was completely devastated. My 43-year-old sister passed away from brain cancer. And I'm like, where is God? God's supposed to heal my sister. I have all the faith in the world. I knew that my faith is going to cure my sister, and it wasn't meant to be. And then all these people that I know that have similar circumstances, their siblings died, and they turn away from God, and they're like, God hates me. They killed my brother. And I'm like, no, I am not going to be that person. I know that God was with me and God was guiding me and that this was meant to be. I don't know why. I don't know why God took my sister, but I'm not going to lose my faith. And I continued to pray and I continued to say, well, God put me here. There's a reason. I'm to have more compassion for people with cancer, or I don't know. Mm. But I don't know. I would understand your perspective because I had a beautiful story and then I have a horrible story. But I didn't lose my faith through the whole thing, so I would appreciate your comments.
Sure. I'm so glad you didn't lose your faith because, you know, when we live in this sinful, broken, hurting world, a lot of people do experience suffering. I mean, we all experience suffering, but a lot of people respond to it and lose their faith, and I'm glad that didn't happen to you. I don't know why your sister did not make it through the cancer, and this is a very tough question that I get asked a lot, and this is something I struggle with. You know, the concept of survivor's guilt. Why did I get healed of cancer and someone who is maybe more deserving, maybe your sister, why didn't she? You know, and I can't speak to that individual situation, but I do know that I just, you know, when you said, it's meant to be, I think that God has a plan for each and every person. He has a mission for each of us. And for some, it could last many, many years, for some very short time. And in my case, after I kind of got over the guilt and, you know, asking questions like, God, why did you save me from this? And I realized when he brought me into the Divine Intervention Radio Ministry and compiling these books and inspiring others, I realized that he had more work for me to do. It just wasn't my time. But let's face it, though. It's awesome to experience a miracle. I mean, I was healed of cancer. But, again, we live in a very sinful, broken world, and there's death in this world. I mean, I was healed of cancer, but something is going to kill me eventually. 10 out of 10 people die, and that's an unfortunate reality of the broken world we live in. But, you know, you look at Jesus, he was raising the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but yet Lazarus still died. You know, experiencing a miracle is great, but the miracle itself is not what is the important thing. The important thing is having a relationship with God, having eternal life. And, you know, someday I'm going to die when my time is up. but I just know that he had more time for me, or he has more things for me to do right now. So I believe maybe your sister's mission on earth was up, and I commend you for not losing your faith in God, and I encourage you to keep that up and keep pursuing him.
Let's try to squeeze in one more quick call. International call line, Brian in Ontario, Canada. We have about 2 minutes left. What's your story for us?
Well, then I'll just go quickly through. I have a number of times where I could have died and I didn't. For example, at birth, I had the cord wrapped around my neck. And when they pulled me out, they pushed me back in. 3 months old, I nearly bled to death. They opened the diaper, my grandmother, and saw all kinds of blood. They said, doctor said 2 hours later he had been dead. At 2 years old, my brothers had we were watching Sea Hunt, which back in the 50s, they put me under the water thinking, okay, in the bathtub, let's see if Brian can breathe underwater. And so that was another time my mother pulled me out. Anyways, at 4 years old, a boy chased me with a butcher knife and
got home
safely in time. At 7 years old, had red measles and went into a coma. I started to go into a coma. Anyways, I survived that.
Brian, you've obviously proven that you've survived whatever has been thrown at you. What are you doing with that life that keeps getting gifted to you?
I recognize that when I became 26, I became a born-again Christian. I found the Lord Jesus in my heart. And I led a number of other family members to the Lord. So I believe that God's purpose was for that.
Thank you very much for calling in and being a part of the show with us. Remarkable stories of miracles, of hope and regeneration. Remember, again, it's not the tragedies that define us. It's how we stand up, and once we've had these moments and miracles in our life, what do we do with those?
Mm-hmm.
We've got about 30 seconds left here. What would you like to leave people with this evening?
I would just like to let people know and remind them how much God loves us. I mean, it's awesome to see a miracle or experience a miracle, but ultimately, I want to point people to the God of miracles. I believe that is through the miracle maker and the author of life, Jesus Christ. I want to invite people to go to my website, divineinterventionradio.com. They can listen to the archives, hear people share their stories firsthand. They can also get my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. It's going to challenge the skeptic, and it's going to encourage the believer. So, you know, get a couple of copies, give them out to friends. They're a great witnessing tool for people who may not believe in God. But if you like stories, it's got so many different stories in there. It's got something for everybody. So, again, divineinterventionradio.com. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And do me a favor for the Coast audience out there. Challenge yourselves this week for your own good. Reach out to someone that has made a difference in your life, somebody that might have set you on a course to put you in a better place. Reach out to them, thank them, show kindness and love. This is the time of year to break out and forgive and love and share that kind of good vibration. So please do that. I'll be back with you January 3rd and again January 23rd and the 24th. Thank you for being here with me. I want to thank the great team behind Coast to Coast. Brian, Tricia back in home base, Tim Dennis here, Lisa Lyon, George Norrie, and my guests, Mary Tracy O'Keefe and Daniel Fazina. This is Coast to Coast AM.